7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode. And this time, we are finally in the presence of one Tim Thompson. Tim, how's it going?
I'm really excited to talk about Paxton Lynch here tonight, guys. It's great to be here.
I played him that audio earlier today while we were at the grocery store.
You guys are a-holes. You guys are real big jerks.
We had fun.
Yeah. It sounded like you did. I'm glad you had fun. Talking a ton of smack, spewing a bunch of nonsensical garbage. But I am here tonight. A little disappointed I didn't get to talk about the Denver Broncos and their quarterback controversy. But
the only person in America who feels that way right now.
But I do get to talk tonight about Tom's Indianapolis Colts, about my Chicago Bears, and about Bills Mafia. So it's going to be a great Tuesday.
It is going to be a fantastic night. Been looking forward to this all week. Knew Tim was coming back. I'm excited to kick things off.
Of course, this is the Indianapolis Colts episode, and this is Tom's team.
America's team.
First time I've heard it called that, but yeah, I guess you could say that. First, we're going to talk about some of the off-season moves that the Colts performed, and then we're going to talk about the draft and some stuff about fantasy and what we think that the Colts are going to do by the end of the year. So first things first, let's talk about the off-season moves. They re-signed Adam Vinatieri, old-ass kicker.
The GOAT.
How many more years does this guy have?
12.
12 more 12. Years. How old is he? Is he 50?
I think he said he's going to kick till he's 60.
I think he's 43 or 44.
He's not too old.
Yeah, a lot of the rookies, like his first year in the NFL, like they were just born or they weren't born yet. So it's absolutely crazy. He's got the silver fox look. He looks like a grandpa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He actually is a grandpa.
Eric Ebron, one of the big free agent signings coming over from the Lions, tight end, of course. Tom, what are your thoughts on Eric Ebron being signed to the Colts here?
Absolutely love it. They weren't too active in free agency. They kind of splurged a little bit getting Eric Ebron. And you look at Andrew Luck when he's been most successful, when he had the year where he led the league in touchdown passes. He had two tight ends who were reliable receiving threats. He had Colby Fleener, Dwayne Allen. Look where those two guys are right now. Both of them, or Fleener's looking for a job. Dwayne Allen's probably going to get cut.
Do you think Fleener goes back to the Colts possibly?
No.
No?
I don't think he will. There's a possibility, but you look at Ebron, he's kind of been a bust. He was taken right around like the 10th pick or in the top 10 of, I believe, 2013's draft. And to be drafted that high for a tight end, you have to put up Gronk-type numbers to really be labeled as a success. But he's only 24 years old, and there's only four tight ends in the NFL history who had more receiving yards at the age of 24. So he's still got some room to grow, and it's just an added threat. Kind of weak at the wide receiver position, so you could see him lined up in the slot, creating mismatches out there. It's a great signing.
You hit the nail on the head, Tom. That was my biggest takeaway is, listen, they need someone else besides Eugene. And they got it there. Listen, I know you're going to try to talk up Ryan Grant and Chester Rogers here later in the show, but I'm not buying it. I'll tell you right now. So before you say anything later, Tom, I'm not buying it, but I will buy one Eric Ebron. I think that this addition, him and Eugene together, it's going to mean a lot to this team. I really do. You and I are much higher than you as a fan, but me as a realist are much higher than one Joshua Stevens over here, who buy Andrew Luck's comeback. Andrew Luck coming back to this team, I will say it now for the first time, automatically puts them in division title contention. Automatically. I like the bringing in of one Eric Ebron.
Yeah, the best with Andrew Luck is when he had a tight end that was able to catch the ball. And
Jack Doyle ain't no slouch either.
Nope.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Brian Grant, though, as Tim alluded to, wide receiver coming over from the Washington Redskins. Not the worst wide receiver in the world that they could have signed. Moncrief left in the offseason.
Thank God.
Ryan Grant, I think it's kind of a decent replacement for Moncrief.
Ryan Grant and Chester Rogers are like Tupac and Snoop Dogg. You know, before they had Dr. Dre, they really weren't anything. Andrew Luck is their doctor. He's going to fix them and make them relevant players in the NFL.
Let me bring this down into the real world. Because Tom has been texting.
You don't like that comparison?
Tom's been texting
more
us
like a dentist this, because this, he can't even stay
this
open.
Dumbass comparison. This is honestly the way that the Colts brought in wide receivers this year reminds me of the same way the Bears have brought in wide receivers in previous years. Guys who are like, well, you haven't really succeeded there. Let's bring in and see if you can do anything on our team. They're fillers. That's it. They're fillers until the Colts can get guys that they actually want.
Matt Slauson, he came in, signed as a free agent from the Chargers, offensive center/guard. Is he going to be starting or is he just going to be a backfield guy?
I don't think he'll be starting. I think at the right guard spot it'll be Muhort. They also drafted a guy in the second round,
yep.
Braden Smith. But Slauson, just bringing that veteran leadership. He came over from the Chargers, and that's where their new offensive coordinator, Sirianni, came from, so he knows him quite well.
I believe Slauson was brought in before the draft.
Yes. Yeah, he was. Him and Muhort were
but,
both.
But I believe that this was a setup. The Colts kind of knew if they had it their way what direction they were going to go early. And to Tom's point, this is more of guys who have been around for a long time. We're going to be able to bring these guys right up to speed. And beyond that, they're going to be able to build a legitimate front five to protect Andrew Luck. And they're going to go into the season with their front five. And if someone starts slacking a little bit, they're going to have a great – they have a formidable – 6 to 7 guys for their offensive line to protect Andrew Luck, which is exactly what you want when a wide receiver comes off of arm replacement. Or, I'm sorry, a quarterback comes off of arm replacement.
He's the Winter Soldier.
Strap my arm right on.
He got his arm from Wakanda, though. He's good.
You heard, like you said, signed a contract extension, Pierre Desir. He signed a contract extension as well. And then... Let's see, who do we have? Kenneth Acker signed as a free agent from Kansas City.
Today.
Oh, did he get cut today? But yeah, and then Christian Michael, contract extension.
He's probably
going to
get cut.
Yeah.
They also brought in Danico Autry, played in a 3-4 with the Raiders last year, but he's going to be a guy that could play end on rushing downs, move inside to be a pass rusher. Also, Najee Good came over from the Eagles. He was a starting inside backer for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So he's got some play time. Wasn't their starter week one, but just more veteran leadership and possibly competition.
The Colts did a good job this offseason of, listen, they're one of those teams who are still in a 4-3. They did a good job of literally bringing in and drafting as many edge rushers as they possibly could to say, hey, whatever one of you shows us something, you're going to be our edge rushing starter week one. So they did a good job of that, which is, I think, exactly what they need to do, being a team that's kind of in a full rebuild without being in a rebuild.
Yeah, one of the things I think I would have rather seen the Colts do is go out there and get another wide receiver other than probably Ryan Grant. Again, I have said that he's an all right wide receiver, but I think, I don't know, maybe you could have added somebody else other than Ryan Grant to that team, especially since your only other wide receiver on there is Chester Rogers. So kind of not that – there's not that 1-2 punch, I guess, so to say. But then again, some teams don't have that. So.
Yeah, it's just how they're trying to build the team. They don't want to invest a lot of money. They did get a few draft picks, brought in some UDFA guys, but – yeah, they would like to have studs at every position, but they don't feel like you absolutely need them at the wide receiver spot.
So let's move on to the draft for the Colts here for 2018, obviously. Pick number one, or I'm sorry, not pick number one. Their first pick, pick number 6 overall, first round, guard Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame. Huge, huge pick here. Almost a luxury pick. I don't know if Quentin Nelson would have actually – I don't know. I didn't see Quentin Nelson going here at this spot, but huge pickup.
I want to start with Quentin because I'm kind of happy that he went to the Colts and didn't fall to the Bears because the Bears would have taken him, and I would have been thrilled. I don't know if I could have dealt with the criticism that the Bears would have faced, that the Colts are facing right now. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I understand that he's a guard. I get that. But teams are torching this pick. I mean, experts, everyone is torching the fact that the Colts took him. I don't understand. You have an offensive line that has been atrocious. You have a franchise quarterback coming off of arm replacement surgery. What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? They have to protect their franchise. They need him to stay on his feet. And yes, there's other needs that the Colts need to address. But doing this right now sets them up for the future. I love this pick for them. I love what he's going to bring to the table with the guys that they brought in free agency. It's going to ensure that with his natural talents, with his work ethics, we saw in rookie minicamp or whatever. I'm sure you've seen the video. Tom, you may have even posted it of him out there last off the field, working his form and working against the goalpost all by himself.
Knocking the goalpost over.
on the field. I love that crap. That's what you want to see. I know Colts fans, you said, Tom, were pissed off about this. Get over yourselves. Get over yourselves. You're in a much better spot than 90% of teams out there because you have one of the top five quarterbacks in the league already. Now you protect him, and now you build around this offensive line. You start trying to build. I just don't get the hate. Tom, congrats to your team on a fantastic pick. I'm a Notre Dame homer, so I love the video. I teared up. Quentin Nelson, when he got that phone call, his parents so happy. They don't have to move now. I love everything about this pick. Congratulations to the Indianapolis Colts, Tom Schultz, and the Quentin Nelson family.
Yeah, I don't understand at all the hate for this pick. Look, the NFL right now is changing. The last 3 years, we've seen running backs being drafted in the top five. We're seeing defensive tackles who are just game wreckers, who are absolutely dominant and some of the most disruptive pass rushers in the game. Last 3 years, we've seen guards like Kelechi Osemele, Kevin Zeitler, Andrew Norwell all get paid big-time money. They are getting left-tackle-type money to play the guard spot. So the NFL is changing. A guard being picked inside the top 10 when they're as good as Quentin Nelson makes sense, and I completely agree with this pick, just like you did, Tim. He's dominant mauler in the run game. He's got a dominant punch, anchor, and pass pro. He's got a nasty demeanor. He's that attitude adjustment this team has needed, and he's already showing that he's going to be a leader on this football team, as you could see in all the training camp crap going on right now. I truly believe he's a special player with all-pro potential, though.
Yeah, I just thought it was a great pick, regardless, kind of everything that you guys just said. But the Colts' second pick that they had in the second round, pick number 4, and then actually they had pick number 5 as well, Darius Leonard, outside linebacker, South Carolina State, and Braden Smith, guard, out of Auburn.
Darius Leonard was Josh's prediction to be a small school player that would go a lot earlier than people thought. Yep. Bravo to you, Josh. That was a very good call. You were kind of money the whole draft. I'm proud of you, Josh.
I'm very, very good the draft.
How many correct picks?
It was not bragging. Let me think if I can remember. Yeah, I think it was only 9. So not great, but, you know, pretty good.
It's still pretty good. But yeah, people are hating on the Leonard pick as well.
Well, they shouldn't because they're idiots.
Yeah, he's a talented kid. Yeah, he went to South Carolina State. But when you watch when he played big-time talent, put on the 2016 Clemson tape, he had 19 tackles in that game. They lost like 70-0.
Yeah.
But he's
all over the field.
He was, yeah, exactly. That's the one theme about this kid. You put on the Senior Bowl. Once again, he was all over the field, 14 tackles in that game. I believe he was a defensive player in that game for his squad. The kid plays fast. He tested very well. One hell of an athlete. I think he's a day one starter at will linebacker for this football team.
Agreed.
And Chris Ballard wants to get speed on that defense. They play in a dome, controlled environment. You get speed. Back in their glory days with Peyton Manning, when that defense was good, they were fast. And that's what he's getting on this football team right now.
Listen, Leonard is the upside pick, right? It is the Colts fans wanted that impact player in the first round of the draft, right? They got it in Nelson, but they wanted to complain about it. They get a Darius Leonard who, the guy's an absolute freak. The Colts aren't able to get, by addressing their biggest need, an offensive line, they're unable to get the Tremaine Edmonds, the Roquan Smiths, who's your boy from Boise? LVE.
That's who they wanted.
It is.
They wanted Roquan.
Right. But okay, what do you do to address it? Get the biggest upside guy you possibly can. Is Darius Leonard a high ceiling, low floor guy? Absolutely. You know, he has a chance to be a Pro Bowler. He has a chance to be out of the league in 3 years. But I love this pick. I love all the tape that I saw on him. I love him being able to just get into the system and learn. He's raw. From what I've heard, a hardworking guy who's going to get out there and bust his ass. It's going to come down more to, in my opinion, is can he learn to, you know, just be an all-around three-down player. That's what it's going to come down to for Darius Leonard and being a true 2-4 value, in my opinion. So, another pick I loved.
The pick after, obviously, we just talked, or I mentioned, Braden Smith, guard out of Auburn. And probably one of my more favorite under the radar type guys. I'm kind of happy he went this early, pick number 5 overall in the second round.
Yeah, since 2012, the Colts, their quarterback has been hit more than any other team's quarterback. Chris Ballard was sick of it. They obviously wanted to address the offensive line. They got Quentin Nelson in the first round, got Braden Smith in the second round. According to Ballard, he had six offensive linemen who he considered his top-tier guys. He said at pick 37, there was one of them left, and that was Braden Smith. He was an All-American guard. They got both All-American guards from the 2017 year in this draft. I don't know if that's ever happened. It's quite interesting. He played in that spread system, very athletic. He's going to fit right in with the Frank Reich system. He will compete with Jack Muhort to start for this football team. I expect Muhort to start over him. He's got more experience, but they're building for the future.
Who are the tackles?
Costanzo, and it'll either be Good, Haig, or what's his name, Howard, they just signed.
Colts fans need to open up their mind a little bit here as well. Yes, it's about protecting Andrew Luck. Even more than that, with the two guards that they filled here, what's kind of the trend? I want to name two people for you. Josh Adams and Kerryon Johnson. What did they both do? They both had monster 2017 rushing seasons behind Quentin Nelson and behind this man right here, one Braden Smith. The Colts haven't had a running game since Frank Gore left. This is, again, towards the future. It's building something. These are building blocks. How fans can't see that this isn't just a, hey, we're just going to guess type of situation. They're protecting their quarterback, and they're looking towards, these are guys who are run blockers as well. These are fantastic picks. They are securing their interior of their line. Now, are the two most important positions of the line and the tackle, are they going to have to be addressed going forward? Absolutely. Sure. But this is a fantastic start. The Colts did a great job at drafting the best available and their needs. They didn't just say best available or our biggest need. They did a great job of doing all around. I've seen D's, C's, and F's for their first three picks, and I completely disagree. I love this pick as well. The Auburn offensive line was judged quite a bit just because the quarterback play at Auburn has been so terrible. But, like I said, look at Kerryon Johnson. Look at the success there. Look what Kerryon Johnson did against Alabama, did against Georgia during the regular season. Why was that possible? Well, it's because of guys like Braden Smith.
The last two picks in the second round, pick number 20 overall and pick number 32, Kamoko Toure, edge rusher out of Rutgers, and Tyquan Lewis, D-end, Ohio State.
I pretty much watched every second of the Senior Bowl coverage on the NFL Network. All the practices, all the one-on-ones, watched the game 3 times. One name that just kept being mentioned was Kamoko Toure. He's a guy who struggled staying healthy in college. His most productive season was his freshman year. That's not good. Battled shoulder injuries this year. That's pretty much his one big weakness, but he has special traits. He's got elite speed, 4.6 40, got great bend coming around the edge, good length. The Colts scouting department came out and said how the main way they judge edge rushers is they combine the sacks, quarterback hits, pressures, and hurries, divide that by pass rushing attempts. The player with the highest percentage on those plays was Kamoko Toure in this class, over Bradley Chubb, over Harold Landry. over all the other first round guys, Josh Sweat. So this is a total risk reward swing for the fences type pick. I think he's not going to be starting day one, but he's going to be a pass rush specialist for this team.
I like the, you mentioned the Lewis pick already, or did you just go say Ture?
No, I mentioned Lewis.
Yeah. Too. So I like the Lewis pick more than the Ture personally. Ture is more of a, hey, this guy is going to be a third down murderer.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they brought him in, just to, you know what, we're going to bring it through camp, and during the regular season, we're going to throw you out there on third down, get as many sacks as you can.
Yep.
What I like about Lewis is he's an edge rusher, but you know that he's gone up against NFL caliber talent throughout his college career. He's used to playing guys who actually have technique, guys who have the NFL size. The Big Ten is known for their big offensive line. Playing at Ohio State, he's gone up against elite talent, I will say. So, Ture pick is, again, another very high ceiling, very low floor guy. The Lewis pick, I think, is more reasonable. Lewis could be an integral part of that defensive line here in 2018.
With these two picks, I think it's quite obvious Frank Reich had a big decision and big impact in this. He's coming over from the Eagles. They had like an 8-man rotation on their defensive line. That's what the Colts are trying to get here. They're trying to keep those rushers fresh, give starters some time off, keep them fresh to go in the fourth quarter when their rushers really count. And that's what both of these picks are. Lewis, he's a captain at Ohio State, former Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He had a lot of competition on that D-line this year with Bosa, who is one of the best prospects we've seen in a while, will be coming out next year. So his playing time was down a little bit, but he's going to add versatility to rush from inside. He did that a lot at Ohio State as well. They lined him up at 3-tech quite a bit. But I'm a fan of both of these picks. They definitely needed to get some edge rushing help.
In the fourth round, pick number 4 overall, Nyheim Hines, running back, NC State, 5'8". Little guy, 198 pounds. What are your thoughts on Nyheim Hines?
This is my favorite pick for the Colts.
What?
In all honesty. As much as I love Quentin Nelson, this kid is so fun to watch. He played wide receiver at NC State a little bit. Very good hands, good route running. We'll add some return abilities. He's going to play that Darren Sproles, Tariq Cohen type role for this offense. This is something they haven't had and something that Andrew Luck has been missing. And it's just something that's going to help this offense out so much. He was the fastest running back at the combine. They're going to be running a running back by committee. And I just think he's a perfect third down weapon for this team.
I'm jumping the shark here a little bit. I will say about Hines, listen, I think that they said, hey, you know what? We saw what Tariq Cohen did in Chicago. Yep. He's still here. You mentioned fastest in the combine. 4 through 6, the Colts said, you know what? We addressed what we wanted to address. We still have a lot of needs.
Yep.
We need to get Andrew Luck weapons.
Yep.
We're going to throw shit at the wall, and whatever sticks, sticks. Running back, wide receiver, running back, wide receiver. That's exactly what they did. They're not really too sure on any of these guys. They're not sold on any of them. Bring them in. Put them in the offense. What can they do? Prove yourself, kid, and yep. All four of these guys are going to get it. I'm not sold on any of them. Tom mentioned Hines. I like it. I mean, we saw what Tariq Cohen can do. I know it's inevitable. The Darren Sproles comparisons are always going to come up. What can they do? I'm not sure. Can he kick return at all?
Yeah.
Kick return, punt return?
Yep.
I mean, he adds some different versatility there. So, like I say, you like it for a team that has nothing.
Why not? They need weapons.
Why not? Yep. Bring all these guys in with these are value picks. These are the type of picks the Colts make these 4 picks and say, hopefully, in 2022, people are looking back and say, man, Jordan Wilkins went with the 169th pick overall. So that's what they're doing here, and that's what they should do.
Speaking on that, 5th round, number 22 overall, Darius Fontaine. Jordan Wilkins, Fountain at pick number 32. And my favorite pick for the Colts, 6th round, pick number 11, Deion Kane, wide receiver.
Is that Clemson. Your favorite?
I love Deion Kane. When the Colts took Deion Kane finally at that pick, I text Tom right away and said, Deion Kane's finally drafted, and what do they need most? In my opinion, wide receiver help. And Deion Kane, I think he was kind of just like how our boy Equanimeous St. Brown was. undervalued in this draft. And yeah, maybe they do have issues. Deion Kane does have a couple drop issues, but he is a possession wide receiver in the NFL. He is a possession guy.
My only downfall with that is you've seen wide receivers who have drop issues come in and have success. It's weird. Like running backs who have fumble issues, they have a way to correct it. It seems like wide receivers who come in who have drop issues never really correct it. The ones who succeed are the ones who are the speedsters, right? Like the kid from the Texans, Notre Dame kid.
Fuller.
Thank you. Will Fuller. You know, he still drops balls all the time. But, you know what? He's fast, and he also has some touchdowns. So I'm interested to see, as a possession wide receiver, how that translates. I hope he can.
Well, you got to look at it, too. 4.43 speed, 11 on his bench press, 6'2", 202 pounds.
What I like,
he's got decent size.
What I like about him, coming from Clemson, he's played against NFL caliber DBs. I feel like there's a lot to be said for playing against NFL talent. Oh, yeah. The ACC, while it isn't, you know, even close to the top conference, in terms of DBs, you got a lot. You know, he's played against Jair. He's played against the Derwin James of the world. He's played against top guys. So, I guess, you know, we'll see what he has to offer.
And with Kane, he struggled this year. He was a completely different wide receiver when Deshaun Watson was there.
Yep.
Preseason this year, he was getting first-round grades. People were telling him and people were mocking him to go in the first round of the NFL draft to be the first wide receiver off the board. Darius Fountain out of Northern Iowa is more of a developmental player in my eyes. But he was in Mike Mayock's top 100 players, which is saying something. Mayock's pretty accurate and is a pretty good judge of talent. Jordan Wilkins, from Ole Miss, didn't really play much in college. I believe he missed all of his junior year because academic suspension. But 6.5 yards per carry in the SEC this season, and his best football game was against Alabama.
He can't read the playbook, but that boy can run.
He's a very good zone running back, and Ballard said he reminds him a lot of Matt Forte. He was part of drafting Matt Forte with the Bears.
Last two picks. Kind of like you said before, Tim, value picks, both linebackers. My screen's loading up.
Matthew Adams and Zaire Franklin.
And I'll say again, I love it. I would love nothing more than to crucify the Colts the way that I'm going to crucify the Buccaneers when we talk about the Bucs. But this is, it's just smart. They went out there and they did what they had to do. Did they make the sexy picks? No. But they made the smart picks, addressing a balance between biggest need and best available. And they came out of it and said, hey, you know what? Linebacker was a need for us.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't address that here. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to take our last two picks, throw shit at the wall, and maybe we have two practice players, but maybe we have someone who surprised us. They bring in Matthew Adams from Houston, who I like more than Zaire Franklin from Syracuse, and hey, maybe we got a couple guys here who could potentially do something. So I'll wait for my overall assessment here. I'll let you guys evaluate first.
Adams is more of that big-time thumper. Tons of big hits on his highlight tapes. He said no one made a highlight tape for him, so he released his own, which is pretty funny, trying to get the hype out for him pre-draft process. And Franklin's more of the cerebral player, three-time captain at Syracuse. Just the leader of that defense, and they desperately needed help at the middle linebacker spot. They need to get a Mike linebacker who could cover, who could stop the run, who could do everything, be the leader of that defense. And yeah, they're throwing two darts at the dartboard with these two picks right here. But in the seventh round, what else could you do, you know?
Yeah. Moving on, overall rating for their offseason, that includes their offseason moves and their draft.
Might be a little biased, but I'm going to give them a B+. I think they hit a lot of needs in the draft. They were They didn't spend a lot of money in free agency. They're going to have over 70 mil in cap, or I believe 80 mil in cap next year. So they know this is a rebuilding team right now. They said it's a three-year process. Next year they're going to go for it, is how Chris Ballard has been saying it. But this team is going to ride or die with Andrew Luck. We've seen him carry worse teams to the playoffs and the division titles. If he's healthy, I think this team's going to be a contender.
So a B+ is the exact grade, Tom, that I had for them in my head. They did what they had to do with, you know, nothing sexy, as I put it. Didn't make, They can do one thing. They can still do one thing. They have the money for it. I still think that they can compete in their division. They're going to have a hard time stopping the run, which I think is going to be their biggest downfall. But you have Andrew Luck. The one thing that they can do, there's a man out there who's looking for 1 year. Who's looking for a lot of money.
I ain't signing him.
Why? Why wouldn't, if you're the Indianapolis Colts, right now you have a fan base who you can attest to, Tom, doesn't think you're doing the right thing. You have a fan base who is dying for some type of excitement. You could spend $12 million for 1 year to bring in Dez Bryant and have Dez Bryant and Eugene Hilton and Eric Ebron together. Listen, they're not going to fix the running game in the offseason. That ship has sailed. They're not going to – whatever they have now is what they have. Give Andrew Luck as many weapons as they can. It's the perfect situation for Dez. It's the perfect situation for the Colts. Let him go out there and prove himself. I agree with you. They probably won't. But they should. It's going to excite the fans. It's going to sell more tickets. And it's going to give them a better chance to win, in my opinion. But in terms of overall offseason, B+. If they sign Dez, I'll give them a solid A.
I'd rather spend the money on a Trey Boston or Kenny Vaccaro, who they brought in this week. I don't think they're bringing Dez in. I like Dez. All right,
shut up.
But
shut up. Wait, time out. Think in your head. You just said you would rather them spend money on Trey Boston than Dez Bryant.
He had 5 interceptions last year. Kenny Vaccaro, he played a nickel linebacker, cover the slot. But
they can still do both. So here's what I always get, where I have issues, right? As a Bears fan, I don't think ever, like, for my team, if I didn't think they were going to be good, right? If I didn't think they had an opportunity, I wouldn't want them to sign a Dez Bryant either. But if I'm in your shoes, I think we're right there. We're right there, and we have a chance to contend for a division title. You don't think bringing in Dez Bryant gives your team a better opportunity, especially you have the money to spend. You just said you have the money to spend. You don't think that giving your team and giving your franchise quarterback another weapon and a bigger opportunity to get that franchise title is more important?
After watching All or Nothing, I don't want them in the locker room, man. They got a lot of young guys there. They're trying to build something there, try to build a locker room, show people what it means to be a Colt, and start a new generation of Colts players. And you bring in a one-year wonder or one-year rental player, and then he's kind of a drama queen. I love Dez. I love watching him play.
And
he's one hell of a football player. I still think he's got tread on the tires.
And you have a new head coach
who
Frank Reich doesn't put up with BS.
Yeah.
You have Eugene Hilton, who I think his team leadership is completely underrated with the plethora of wide receivers that he's had to deal with in his career. Who you say, listen, we're not putting up with it. We're going to give you this 1 year contract, but we're also going to say, you know, you can put stipulations in there, this, that, or the other, you know, of if this happens where we can cut you after this week and there's no issues, you can set it up to be successful for your organization. I think the Colts they have to decide. And you as a fan base, Tom, I'm putting the Colts fan base on you. You as a fan base have to decide, where are you? Are you Josh's mind of, hey, we're a 4-6 win team and we're not competitive? Or are you in Tim and Tom's mind where you're pushing the Jags for the division title?
I really think the Colts got Tupac and Snoop Dogg on the roster, man.
Deion Kane and
I'm not worried about the wide receiver spot.
Dez Bryant.
Everyone's freaking out about the wide receiver spot, but I'm really not worried about it. Look,
oh my God,
you look how the Patriots have done it year in and year out.
They brought in Randy Moss.
Yeah, what'd they do last year? What'd the Eagles do last year? They had one big time guy and a bunch of other guys.
They brought in Alshon Jeffrey, who is.
What else did they have?
Stage 4 cancer.
What else did they have? They had Nelson Aguilar, Torrey Smith. Aguilar, they were using him the wrong way for his first 3 years in the NFL. Finally, they put him in the slot where that's all he played at college. And look, he can play football again. It's amazing. It's for me, the passing game and the receivers, it's more about scheme than anything. You look at what the Patriots have been able to do for years and the types of receivers they've had put up good numbers. It's about scheme more.
All right. So in terms of scheme.
I don't want this.
Do you agree that Eugene is in the perfect spot for scheme?
Yes.
Do you agree that Ebron is in the perfect spot?
Yes.
The role that Dez Bryant, do you think that Dez Bryant, in terms of scheme and the role that he would play on the Indianapolis Colts, that he would be better or worse than what the Colts have right now?
I think they'll be fine.
No, it's not the question. Answer the question with what they have right now.
For an overall team, they'd be worse.
Oh, that.
I want to see the young guys play. I want to see Snoop Dogg and Tupac
that,
play.
That is just, this is why Colts fans hate you, Frank Reich, and Big Dick Baylor.
Moving on, I give them a solid B, no B plus though.
It's fair.
What are your thoughts?
Oh, I don't care.
Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
Apparently Josh isn't on this show anymore.
No, I am. I just, I've seen it with my Bucks where they have Mike Evans. They brought a DeSean Jackson in.
Paying him big money.
Paying him big money.
What'd it do?
Honestly, but I would rather have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin
yep.
across from each other because I think Chris Godwin is something
DeSean,
else.
DeSean Jackson demanded multi-year.
Yeah.
Dez wants one for money it's going to sit there. It's going to sit. It doesn't do. It does not hurt you then. At all to sign him for 1 year. It does nothing.
Why don't the Bears sign him then, Tim?
Because the Bears have their spots filled. They do.
Moving on, let's go to the fantasy aspect of this. We're first going to start off with the quarterback position, obviously. And we have one, Jacoby Brissett. And then, zing.
Well, I see what
and then
man.
We have, that was a Tim move. And then we also have, of course, Andrew Luck. Bearing arm replacement surgery. So Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby finished last year as the, I'm just saying, he finished last year as the number 20 overall quarterback.
Pretty good.
Not too bad for a guy that got a start in week three, right?
He came in at the end of week one, started week two.
Did he start week two? Okay. So, again, this is a guy that wasn't even on the roster for the most part of the offseason.
Right, yeah, they traded for him right before the season started with the Patriots for Dorsett.
So, Jacoby Brissett comes over, top 20 quarterback. Obviously, we think Andrew Luck is going to be healthy enough to be the guy all year. What are your guys' thoughts on Andrew Luck?
If he's healthy, he's a top 5 or 6 guy for me. We've seen him in the past. His last 3 full seasons of playing, he finished top 6 each season, including a number 1 ranking. So I think he's got the potential. I think this scheme is good for him. Hopefully that offensive line is somewhat fixed. I like the more receiving viable running backs they have right now. The receivers aren't sexy. Tim wants them to add a Dez Bryant, but I think Luck will be fine with the current receivers he has. If he plays, he's going to be valuable in fantasy football.
So opposite of Josh, and not so much Tom, I think that Luck's going to have his growing pains. I think there is, It's going to be a little bit rough for him, especially not having a running game.
He's never had a running game.
I get that. But coming off of the arm replacement surgery that he had, you can't just tell me. I know. Listen, his real injury. You can't just tell me that he's going to come in and be the same guy. You can't. Knees are one thing. It's his throwing arm. It's his throwing shoulder.
It's a new arm, too.
Yeah, I know. But I'm sorry. The fact that in the offseason, we get updates of when he's throwing ping pong balls, Nerf footballs, Vortex footballs.
Weighted football.
Right. It's just nonstop of, oh, now he's finally throwing this. Now he's like, oh, in X amount of days, he's going to throw a real football, but only backwards and with one eye closed. I'm tired of that shit. You can't tell me that there's not a reason that they're doing it. There's issues there. He's going to have growing pains. Listen. If you're telling me that Andrew Luck's going to have to come out week one and throw 65 passes a game, that scares me. It scares me a lot, and it should scare you too as a Colts fan. With that said, I like Andrew Luck as a top 12 quarterback. He's a starting quarterback in the league. I don't think he's a top 5, but he's a top 12 quarterback for sure. If you're getting him in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, somewhere in that round, is, like the 5th or 6th quarterback taken, I'm all about it.
Moving on to running back, we have no more Frank Gore there for the Colts.
Boo.
We have Marlon Mack, Robert Turbin, Christian Michael, and of course, Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins.
It's going to be a running back by committee, similar to what we saw at Philadelphia last year. So every week's going to kind of be a little pain in the ass. You might get a week where Mac has a great game. Next week, Hines might have a good game. I think Wilkins is going to have a chance to play right away. I think he's kind of a super deep sleeper you should be looking at. But I think the guy at the end of the year with the most points will be Mac. But I would not want to be starting him at my one or two running back spots or even a flex right off the bat.
So I'm going to double down on Tim of 2017 and Tom of 2017 and say that Marlon Mack is the guy to have here. Tom and I were both pretty high on him going into last year. Tom ended up getting him. I think that he's going to be flex viable is my spot for him. I think that he'll be a person who you can say, you know what, if I don't have anyone, if I have someone to buy, Marlon Mack is going to be the one to get 15 to 20 touches.
Yeah, I think last year he was second in the NFL in percentage of runs over 10 yards and 20 yards, and then second in the NFL with negative yard runs. So it'll be interesting. He's kind of that big play threat, but I do think that O-line, I don't think the running game is going to be as bad as Tim thinks, because you got to look at what they've addressed. Quentin Nelson, if Ryan Kelly could stay healthy, and Costanzo, that's one hell of a left side of that offensive line right there.
Yeah, I think Marlon Mack is not getting enough talk right now. I think he's very under the radar and could be a very sneaky pickup later in drafts. I think that a lot of people probably be looking at him later in drafts, and they'll probably be taking backups to starters before they even think about Marlon Mack.
In ESPN's expert mock, he went in the sixth.
Wow. Interesting.
Kind of interesting.
Moving on to wide receivers, we have T.Y. Hilton, Ryan Grant, Chester Rogers. Kamara Aiken still there?
No.
No?
He sucks.
Yeah, he's awful.
He's bad.
And then the rookies, Fountain and Kane.
I think Hilton's going to be the only reliable one you could start week in and week out. If Luck's playing, he's a top 12 guy. The other guys, I'm not really thinking of drafting them. We've seen Dante Moncrief somewhat be reliable in fantasy football when Luck was healthy because he was catching those touchdowns. So if you're looking for a big body guy like that, you might be looking at a Kane or a Fountain late in the draft. Both of them are good with the 50-50 balls. Both have good size and pretty good speed as well.
Take Eugene as a wide receiver two or flex player.
Two or flex?
Yep.
Last 3 years with Andrew Luck, where'd he finish, Tim?
It's a different Andrew Luck.
All right.
He for all we know, he has Rex Grossman's arm now.
He was running. He was a wide receiver two last year with Jacoby.
Yeah, last year.
So you're still saying he's a wide receiver two and a flex?
I don't know.
Well,
who he
last
is.
Year
this
he finished
problem.
27 overall.
Yeah, I had
that PPR.
Yeah,
standard.
And those 27s are because of like three games. He also had a lot of games where he was very bad.
Because the quarterback play is bad.
Sure. And I hope he's great. I'm actually cheering for the Colts just because I want to prove Josh wrong. But I'm not sold on the
prove
fact.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah. I'm still not sold on the fact that it's just going to come in and be sunshine and rainbows right away. I hope it is. But I'm tentative. I'm not going to waste. Last year, Eugene was getting what? End of second? Early third?
Yeah. Middle second.
I'm not investing that draft capital on that. Absolutely not.
He's going like the third now.
Right. I mean, if it's in the late third, early fourth, probably, it's still a lot of draft capital to give up.
Moving on to the tight ends, we have Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, the two main guys there. Jack Doyle, do you know where he finished as a tight end last year, Tim?
Eighth.
26th.
Seventh.
All right.
Not too bad.
Where did Ebron finish, you know?
Ebron finished number 13.
So both of them have shown that they could finish top 15. I think both of them have the potential to be a starting tight end week in, week out. It'll be interesting how the Colts offenses use both of these tight ends. As Ebron,
should use them as a wide receiver.
Yeah, but are they going to use Ebron as that Zach Ertz role or that Trey Burton role or what? You know they're going to have a lot of two tight end packages on the field. Doyle's very good in the red zone, very reliable chain mover type receiver. I think Ebron has higher upside, but Doyle is a safer pick and will probably go before Ebron in most drafts.
I wouldn't be touching Doyle, in all honesty. It just doesn't. I feel like there's going to be probably 3 to 5 tight ends who are very similar to Doyle. I probably wouldn't want either, but if I'm taking one, it's Ebron because of the upside.
Yeah, Jack Doyle finished number 5 overall, I believe, in targets and receptions for tight ends last year. And he went from number 13 in 2016 to number 7 in 2017. Honestly, in my opinion, Ebron has the more potential, but if I want reliability, I'm probably going to go with Jack Doyle. Ebron's probably going to be drafted above Doyle just because of name value, and he's coming in as a free agent. So I'd rather have Jack Doyle as if I was rostering 2 tight ends, then that's the way I would go, but normally I don't. Just to talk about kicker, because it is Vinatieri, is he a kicker that you draft early?
Not early, but he's a guy that's going to be rostered early, or not early, but rostered in most leagues. He is, in my eyes, definitely a top 12 kicker in the league.
Yeah, if you're drafting any kicker early, you ought to check yourself.
No, I'm just talking about earlier compared to other kickers. Yes.
I still want to take him early, but he'd probably be one of my 4 to 7.
Yeah.
Ratio? Where did he finish last year?
I have no idea.
5th.
Take a guess?
6.
No, 16.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's exactly
what that offense is terrible.
Yeah. If Andrew Luck is healthy, then
this is why I'm saying the things I am. You always ask me, what are you saying?
Then I do agree. I think he is one of the top kickers to be selected. Where do we see the Colts this year overall?
It'll be somewhere between 8-8 and 10-6. I think they'll have a chance to compete. This is all if Luck's healthy. If Brissett's quarterback, they'll probably win 3 or 4 games again.
I'm going to have them at 9-7, pushing for that division title, like I said, or a wild card spot.
I have them at 8-8. I think Luck will be healthy, but I think he's going to have some rust that he's going to have to knock off.
No Nick Bosa for you guys.
Yeah. Anything else, guys, on the Colts? I know it's your team, Tom.
It's all I got. I'm ready for football. I like the draft. I think it's going to be a completely different team from top to bottom. Got the worst coach in football out of this football team now.
Whoa!
Chuck Pagano was terrible. Well, him or Fox.
I was going to say, easy there, big fella.
Both of them.
I got something for Colts fans. Listen, you guys have struggled, but you're nowhere near the worst organization in football. Trust me, I'm living in one, so I know. You guys are doing the right things. Like, you're doing great. This is the opposite message I'm going to be giving Joshua's friends as Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans.
They had a good draft.
No, they had a bad one.
I love the Bucs draft.
So, Colts fans, just relax.
This might be the only draft we agree upon, Tim.
Might be. I think we're going to agree about the Bears as well.
First 3 picks, yeah.
We'll see what happens. That's all I got. Colts fans, stop being whiny little bitches.
Keep your head up.
No, just stop being. They're being whiny little bitches.
Like Ryan Grant, a.k.a. Tupac, says.
No, keep Ryan Grant sucks.
Deion Kane will score at least 4 touchdowns.
I hope he does.
At least 4.
That means Andrew Luck has like 50 touchdown passes.
All right, that's all we have for you guys this time. Hope you guys enjoyed the breakdown of the Indianapolis Colts. And as always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at PonyKegSports, at Pony_Keg_Tom. And at Fight Talk Tim, you guys can always email us ponykicksports@gmail.com. And until next time.
Bye-bye.